Last time I talked about a debate about whether birders should report rare owls on listservs. Because of the risk to owls, some people refuse to post exact locations of them, and naturally some photographers and birders take umbrage. Beginning birders are especially offended that more experienced birders would keep such information secret. I can understand that viewpoint, remembering my own frustrations when I was starting out, not knowing where the best places were. And to add to the frustration of novice birders nowadays, professional birding guides often know where the best birds are, but may share that information only with their paying customers. This can build resentment. And knowing that experienced birders are keeping this information close to the vest also contributes to a feeling that birders are a closed community when we should be welcoming newcomers with open arms. But even as I was frustrated when starting out and not knowing where to look for birds, I got a lot of valuable field experience that made me a much better birder by searching out my own good birds. I'm about to turn 60, and like any geezer, I have a certain nostalgia for the good old days when we birders took pride in finding our own birds rather than following directions to precise locations. And even more like an old geezer, I can't help but think that people today want too much instant gratification, expecting their life list to grow by leaps and bounds from the start. In my first year of birding, I saw just one owl, a snowy owl that flew right over Russ's and my heads as we walked on Lakeshore Drive along the Chicago lakefront. My U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service friend, Bob Russell, wrote, "Whatever happened to the joy of discovering your own birds? Long-eared, northern saw-whet, and short-eared owls likely occur seasonally in almost any Minnesota county, and I recall at least one article in The Loon in How to Find Your Own Long-Eared Owls. Check out the pine and spruce plantations and stands where you live for these owls, or grapevines and dense crab trees or young pines." I may have been stuck finding most of my lifers when I was starting out, but then again in my second year of birding, I got my lifer short-eared owl thanks to people sharing the location where the birds were hunting every evening just outside East Lansing. It took time for the word to get out back then, so staked-out birds like this could only be seen by a lot of birders when the birds stuck around for weeks rather than days or hours. We were warned to stay on the road, and back then photographers weren't stalking these birds so aggressively as they are today. Whenever people get to see a really cool and charismatic bird, such as an owl, in the wild, it gets them excited about birds and birding. The more birders we have, the more pressure there can be to protect species that need help. And really, most of the time, revealing locations for owls does not harm the owls. So it's a quandary. Flaring tempers on the listserv are like so many of today's highly charged debates, wherein each side wants to score points rather than work to find the wisest solution for everyone. I know where I stand on the issue of baiting owls with real or fake mice. I would never consider doing it myself, and I'd never buy a photo of an owl if there was a chance the photographer had baited it. I never share information with birders I suspect of doing this, and never post on a listserv when a bird seems the least bit vulnerable. But I wish we could all state our opinions and justifications clearly and leave people to draw their own personal conclusions, rather than ridiculing people on the other side for being selfish, either for keeping information from others or for putting birds at risk. This does nothing more than raise the temperature of an already heated debate that will never be fully resolved. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.